today as we come to the table.
A little bit of my personal testimony right here before we get into it, and I'm not going long into it, will give you hope, but that is, Jesus gave us a passage that speaks about being trapped in sin, and nothing could be more appropriate to being trapped in sexual immorality as this. He said, if your right eye sins, pluck it out. If your right hand sins, cut it off. And he goes down the list of things. We know that the Lord was not speaking in a physical way, or he would have said, pluck out both eyes, cut off both hands, do this, etc. He was simply making a point. You're going to sometimes have to do things that are very painful, very difficult, very hard. Might I say spiritually bloody if you're going to be free.
Sin is a big deal. It's much more destructive than we would like to acknowledge. If you've ever been caught up in it, and that's every one of us, you know how hard it can be to leave that sin behind. Some sins are more subtle and easier to brush over, but as we'll be challenged in today's message, we need to take a hard-line stance against any sin that persists in our lives. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. As Pastor Mark will clarify in today's message, though God doesn't want us to actually cut off our own hands or pluck out our eyes when they cause us to sin, this scripture makes it clear that those actions would be less harmful than the destruction that sin brings. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 as he begins his message, Personal Purity.
If you have your Bibles, let's get into the Word. Open your Bibles up to 1 Thessalonians. Going to be looking at chapter 4, verses 6 through 12. However, I do want to start reading in verse 3, as we lay a foundation here to kind of back up, and we'll kind of recap where we were last week. Kind of a heavy topic, but that's what God's Word does. It deals with heavy topics, and so we hit it head on as always. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, notice Paul says this, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, and that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who also has given us the Holy Spirit." Last week, we looked at a higher standard. If you remember, we started looking at that. In a way, we're still looking at a higher standard in Christ today, but we're expanding it on to really personal purity. Now, they're both very closely linked to each other, if you will. But again, we're going to finish looking at that higher standard and a personal purity and move into Paul's discussion on principles of our personal government and life, and touch just briefly on some governmental situations on a personal level and also that lead into a governmental level. We won't be getting into a study on governments, if you will, but Paul will touch on it toward the end, so we will touch on it slightly. But again, the same principle that applies to personally govern our lives will apply to national governments, and boy, do we need some biblical guidelines and boundaries for our government today. As we see the mess that we're in, God has given us those boundaries and those guidelines, and our founding fathers put them in place, and we have lived by them now for well over 200 years, and God has blessed our nation, but now as we're beginning to get away from them, I'm concerned about the next generation. I'm concerned about the direction of our nation. I think we all are as we watch what's happening, but God's Word does give clear instruction, and so we'll see some of that very briefly today, and we'll get more into it when we get into 2 Thessalonians. We'll move from 1 Thessalonians into 2 as we get there, and Paul does address it again, so we'll look at it in a little bit more detail there, but we are going to touch on it today to some degree. But today, as we continue looking in this passage, we look, as I said, at sanctification and sexual purity. And let me just say before we even start this, this is a very serious subject for all of us. Learning to walk sexually pure with the Lord is something that can be very difficult to do, especially if you didn't come to know the Lord till later in life. And especially if you weren't raised in a godly home or if you just kind of went off on your own and lived however you want. Some of you have had the advantage of being raised in a godly home. But again, you know as well as I do, even being raised in a godly home does not protect us from sexual immorality. And so we have to understand what the Bible teaches on the subject, and then we have to understand how we receive help from the Lord and get direction on the subject. I can tell you from personal experience that when I came to the Lord, my life was very impure in many areas, this being one of them. And when I gave my life to the Lord, God began to minister to me and say, Mark, I want you to walk in holiness. I want you to walk in purity. I want you to not only you be free, but I want you to honor me and have a close relationship and be able to be a witness and testimony to others. And for those of you that have been trapped in this type of cycle or whatever the case might be, you know that it's not easy to get out of, and maybe you're trapped in it now. So I hope that today will give you hope, and I hope that a little bit of my personal testimony right here before we get into it, and I'm not going long into it, will give you hope. But that is, Jesus gave us a passage that speaks about being trapped in sin, and nothing could be more appropriate to being trapped in sexual immorality as this. He said, if your right eye sins, pluck it out. If your right hand sins, cut it off. And he goes down the list of things. We know that the Lord was not speaking in a physical way, or he would have said, pluck out both eyes, cut off both hands, do this, etc. He was simply making a point. You're going to sometimes have to do things that are very painful, very difficult, very hard, might I say spiritually bloody, if you're going to be free. And some of you have been battling for years in some of these areas that we may cover today, and you know in your heart maybe an area we don't cover. And I'm here to tell you there is freedom available, but it's going to be a battle that you've got to take seriously. And it's not by your might, it's not by your power, it's not because you're going to determine that you're going to be free. Here's all you need to determine. You're going to follow Jesus Christ, and you need his power to set you free. If you make up your mind to do that, and you continually seek God and say, God, you've got to set me free, and you begin to cut out the areas in your life where the enemy is pulling you back into this sin, that's where the plucking out the eye, cutting off the hand, that's where that all comes in. Whatever radical, drastic measure you need to take to do it, once you do that, God will see that and God will honor that. I can remember coming to the Lord and having all these battles and being trapped in all these areas. And I said, Lord, I want to be free. I want to be pure. And so he said, all right, Mark, you got to go radical on me. And I said, all right, let's go radical. I want you to cut out everything. And for some of you this morning, that may be at least temporarily cutting out internet, temporarily cutting out cable, temporarily. And I say temporarily because, again, when God sets you free, then you can begin to reset boundaries of your life that you can live a more normal life. But if you're trapped in it like I was, you're going to have to get radical. And here's what I'm saying. It's not because you're radical that sets you free. It's your radicalness to say, God, I'm going to seek you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I'm going to do what's necessary to get free of this, that God comes in and says, all right, Mark means it. He's all in, man. He's me. I'm setting him free. And I can tell you, the battle lasted for a while, and then God, by his power, not because I was able to do it, God set me free. And it was such a wonderful day when God just set me free, and I knew I was free. And again, there's this transition from viewing things such as sex as something in a personal, pleasurable way or for your own benefit into something that is a gift of God between a man and a wife. And it even changes the way that you look at other people. You don't look at women as objects. You look at them as brothers and sisters in the Lord. You look at them as somebody you care about, that you want to see succeed. And it just, everything changes. It is supernatural. But with what we have going on in our environment today and everything that's on the internet and our phones, and it's accepted in society, it becomes just a thing that everybody's after, and it's consuming our society and it's ruining lives. And I don't expect the world to follow God's standards, but what Paul is going to show us today is God will set you free. And I want to tell you this. I don't say this on some personal bragging point, because I know that there's no way that I could ever have been free, and there's no way that I could stay free if God didn't do it by the power of his Spirit. I know that. If I walked away from the Word and I walked away from God, I would be right back to where I was 30 years ago. I know that. But here's the only reason I share this. Some of you think, you don't understand, Pastor Mark. I've been trapped in this for so long, I can never be free. Well, I was trapped in it for many, many, many years up until my 20s as far as sexual immorality and many other areas I shouldn't have been involved in. And I can tell you this, not only did God set me free when I broke before him and gave him everything and did everything he asked me to do, but God has kept me free over these years of walking with Christ. And I've now been walking with Christ for 30 years. My point is, yes, there's hope, and yes, there's hope in longevity and a new life, but you have to mean it. You have to mean it. And that is, God, I'm all in, and that means whatever it takes. And sometimes it takes things that we don't like. We don't like breaking off relationships. We don't like cutting off some of the, you know, avenues of being able to jump online and find whatever we want, you know, and maybe we're not even looking for sexual things, but that door's open. Maybe we like the fact we can go and kind of catch up on all the news and watch what we like on the TV, but then there's all those other channels, and maybe we don't like the fact of having to miss that for a while, but you know what? There comes a time where God will say, lay it all down. And you might be in a place today where God's calling you to go radical. I don't know. You make that determination. Here's how you can determine if God's calling you to go radical. Have you tried being non-radical and are you free? If you've tried being non-radical and you're still not free, guess what you've got to do? You got to go radical, my friend. You got to go radical. And what I mean by that is you know what? You may have to break off some of those relationships. You may have to stop going to certain places. You may not be able to watch certain movies. You may have to quit reading certain books and having certain things online, etc. It's not because of legalism. It's not because you're trying to work your way to heaven. But you realize, if I don't cut off my right hand and pluck out my right eye, I will not be free. I've shared with you guys, I think it's better to be embarrassed and to be free than it is to be in bondage and not be embarrassed. Joseph, running from Potiphar's wife, she kept pursuing him, but pursuing him, lie with me, sleep with me. And he said, I can't do that. It's going to be against God. He's young. He's in his teens. He's at the highest peak of his sexual drive. And no doubt this was a very beautiful woman because she was married to a high official in Egypt. And by the way, if she hadn't have been beautiful, the Bible wouldn't have put that in there as an example of temptation, right? And so day after day after day, a young teenager in the height of his sex drive, right? All the hormones going crazy, right? This beautiful woman who doesn't care about her husband or God or anything else says, I'm yours whenever you want, every day if you want. How about that? Joseph got so cornered, he finally said, I'm out of here. I'm not doing this. And he ran, which is what we're to do when it gets serious. We run. We don't negotiate with it. We don't talk about it. We don't play with it. We run. She grabbed his outer garment, and it says his outer garment, he ran so fast, he let her have it. He ran out of it. Now, back in that day, you've got to understand, the outer garment was all you wore, and underneath was what we would call today underwear. It was a wrap, which means when she grabbed his outer garment, guess what he ran through the neighborhoods of Egypt in? Most likely his underwear. Is it possible there was something else on? Possible. Most likely it was his underwear. Here's what Joseph said. I would rather be embarrassed, unexpectedly embarrassed, and run across the neighborhoods of Egypt in my underwear than to sin against God. That's amazing. Maybe you saw yesterday, this poor guy, he was in his house. If you saw the news or not, if he's somewhere in the UK, he's in his house. He was awakened. He had woken up. He didn't have any clothes on. Somebody screamed that his niece was being kidnapped outside. Our niece is being taken. Our niece is being taken. So here's a door slam. The car drives off. He had no time to grab clothes. He thought, this is crazy, but I've got to go save my niece. He ran naked after this car, caught the car, grabbed onto it. The people freaked out. He realized as soon as he grabbed the car that his niece came walking around the corner and they did not have his niece. Now, good for him for his bravery, but humility, humility, humility. God's not going to ask you to do that, but let me ask you this. Are you willing to do something that's even maybe embarrassing to stay pure and holy before God? Mark, what could I possibly do that would be humiliating and embarrassing? Listen, I can remember it was so bad for me as a baby Christian when I'd come to Christ, coming out of all the sexual junk that we're just invaded with in the world. And I said, God, I'm going to do what it takes. I found that it was hard for me to even be in the presence of women and see them without all these thoughts from all those years, stuff coming in my mind. It was like, I can't stop this. God, you got to help me. And so I'd be walking down the street, and I remember hearing Billy Graham, you know, the first look you can't help, but the second look you're responsible for. And so walking down the street, I'm thinking, okay, God, if I see someone attractive, I'm just going to turn away. And so what I would do is, when they come by, some of you heard me share this, but I want to share it again because it makes the point. I would turn and look, and if there was a window, that was great. I could do window shopping until she went by. There were a couple of times I turned like this, and it was a brick wall. And I stood there looking at that brick wall going, I know I look like a fool. And I'd hear her walk by me and go past me. But I said, Lord, I may look like a fool, but I'm not falling. I'm not falling. And I would think about Joseph running in his underwear and go, all right. We did it, Joe. We did it. How bad do you want it, gang? How bad do you want it? Do you want to be free? Or do you want to live the rest of your life in frustration with your wife and fights about what you're watching, what you're doing, and personal conviction? You can be free, but you're going to have to get radical. Now, Paul gets into this, and he starts in verse 3. Notice here he says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." That is, that you be set apart for God. "That you should abstain from sexual immorality, and that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust." Now again, if you remember last week, we spoke about who God approves of having sexual relations. And we noted two things. First of all, it must be between a man and a woman. And secondly, the man and the woman must be married. That's God's stipulation for sex that's accepted. Now, God is the one that came up with the sexual relationship. It's nothing we're doing that God doesn't know about. It's something that God intended for pleasure. It's something God designed to be shared that's wonderful between a man and a wife, only to be shared in the proper role and the proper time and the proper place between a man and a wife. And so, again, scripturally, we see that that's God's plan for the sexual relationship. We also noted last week that there's a lot of people that are very confused about sexual relationships. You know, we live in a day and age where people are confused about a male and female. Would you ever think you lived in a day where people are honestly confused about it? They really are. And I see honestly because truly I believe people are honestly confused about this issue. Some even confuse whether they're in any gender at all. And yet God in his grace has not only shown us biblically that there is male and female, but God has shown us scientifically and biologically. And we covered this last week as well. Remember we said that if someone has an XY chromosome makeup in their DNA, they're a male. If someone has an XX chromosome makeup in their DNA, they're a female. And you know what's interesting? I was doing a little bit of chromosome study this morning. It's amazing what Bible study gets you looking at. And it's interesting how the chromosome works. It's wrapped in the DNA, a part of our makeup of who you are. And it's a design that God has built in. Everything's in place. It's almost like in the seed that you plant in the ground, you water it and you wait. It's got everything it needs and it just does what it's supposed to do. The DNA is the same way. And the chromosome is wrapped inside of the DNA extra tight. It's wrapped up inside the DNA. It's just locked in, if you will, which is such a picture of God saying, I've made and predetermined who the males will be. I've made and predetermined who the females will be. And it's wrapped up and locked in the DNA so that nobody can change it, even if they want to. This is God's design. This is what God determined. This is what God has done. And so God shows us very clearly, again, not just biblically, but biologically and scientifically. And the Bible says it's all determined before we're born. And so it's not by us to determine or by society to determine or by any doctor to determine. It's not if we make some cosmetic outward change, which we can do, that still doesn't change it. We're still biologically either a male or a female, regardless of how we feel, regardless of what society tells us, and regardless of the type of surgery that we have. It's just a scientific and biblical fact. Now, here's the thing I want you to realize, though. This is where you need to have compassion. As they say, it is what it is. You can't change it. But let me ask you this. Do some people really feel that? They really feel that they're a man trapped in a woman's body or vice versa or whatever the case might be? Absolutely. I have some dear friends that have come out of that confusion, walking with Christ and maintained their walk with Christ throughout their life and been free and been set free by the Lord. And I can tell you this, and others that I've talked to, and one is particular I can think of that I've spoken with, some that I know have come out, some that haven't come out or gotten back to what the biological design is and what God has done. It's something that is very real. It's not just a choice. I know that choice comes into it, but it's not just that someone chooses it. They really believe it. And it may be from how they were brought up. It may be from their environment. It may be from whatever the case. We know there's a lot of different reasons from it. Oftentimes it comes from even abuse when they're a child. You see a high rate of those that are confused about whether they're male or female when it comes to that, but that's not always the case. There's many other reasons and many other factors that come into this. And then again, you also have Satan in there working his best to try to confuse it all the more. But the bottom line is it's real to them. And so what has to happen is there has to be like any other sin. Listen, sexual immorality, whether it's sexual immorality in what I'd call a normal relationship or sexual immorality in a non-normal relationship, it's just another form of sin. And we all have our different areas of sin that God has saved us out of and brought us out of. How are we healed from that sin? The renewing of the mind by the washing of the water of the Word. We spend time in the Word of God. God changes us by the power of His Holy Spirit, and we're set free in these areas. And all of us have our different area of struggle. My area of struggle was not necessarily thinking I was of a different sex or being attracted to the same sex. My areas came in other ways. Alcohol, drugs, whatever the case might be, that was my area. But it was just as real for me. It was just as devastating for me, and it was just as hard to get out of for me. So wherever someone's area of struggle is, then that's where we have to have compassion and realize that. And you say, well, Mark, why do some people believe that it's so real? And they say that I know that it is because I feel this way so strongly. Guys, remember, the Bible says when mankind fell, everything changed. Our minds were altered. Our very lives were altered. Our bloodline was altered. We became inheritors of sin within our very bloodline, which means our feelings change, our thoughts change, everything changes around us. And so we need to have compassion depending on whatever area of sin someone's battling in. We're a fallen being. Only God can restore us back to being whole. But God can, and God does. If we stay with Christ and we walk in purity, we will be free and we will be whole before the Lord. And so again, that's one of the things we covered last week, if you remember. Paul also said we should know how to possess our own vessel in sanctification and honor, which again goes hand in hand with sexual purity. As we noted, there's no way we can grow in the Lord except to honor Him. If we're sexually immoral, we can't honor Him. It's dishonoring to the Lord if we're not living in a sexually moral way. Also, remember, as we noted there, Paul said we're not to operate in passion of lust like the Gentiles who don't know God, but we are rather to be moved by the Holy Spirit because we do know God. And this is where we left off last week. That's kind of a recap. If you missed, that kind of catches us up to where we are. And so where we left off was Paul was warning them not to be defrauded. And that's where we take up in verse 6. Paul now speaks directly. Of course, he's speaking to the church anyway, but he gets more focused in. He's speaking of sexual immorality in general, but he focuses in here on the church. He says that no one, verse 6, should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, that is in sexual matters, because the Lord is the avenger of such, as we also forewarned you and testified. Now note this, there is a level of sexual immorality in the world. There's a higher standard and accountability in the church as far as because we know God. And there's even a higher level and accountability for within the church of sexual activity. Why? Because the Bible says we're held accountable for what we know. And that means that depending on what we know and where we are in life, God's going to have a greater consequence on us. Now God doesn't punish His children. The Bible says that God took all the punishment on the cross, but God does chastise us. And so what God is saying, what Paul is saying is, make sure that not only you're not acting like the world in the world with all their sexual immorality, but make sure that you don't bring it into the doors of the church, especially don't be sexually immoral with a brother or sister in Christ, because when you do that, there's a greater consequence because God Himself will be the avenger. Again, notice here the word defraud is interesting. It comes with the idea here of taking advantage of a brother or sister sexually. And says, Paul says, whoever does this, if takes advantage of a brother or sister in a sexual way, God Himself will avenge them. This is scary stuff.
The New Testament letters of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians are good reminders that people in the past had the same concerns as many might have today. There can be an uncertainty of what's to come, and when everyone starts to speculate, it gets tricky to discern what's true and what's not. If you're finding yourself becoming stagnant in your faith, this book is like drinking some fresh water, as it brings about the right perspective on Christ's return and what that means for those who are followers of Jesus. If you aren't familiar with this kind of faith and are wondering what it means to become a follower of Jesus, don't hesitate to ask us any questions. You can connect at thewaymedia.net by clicking on the Come to the Table section, or give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that number is 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come to get to know us at Calvary Knoxville. We meet every Sunday and we'd be excited to hear your story. Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the Calvary Knoxville link to get service times and directions. If these teachings have been helpful for you and you'd like to hear more from this series and the letters to the Thessalonians, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net. We'd be happy to have you join us for our next edition. Keep reading through God's Word until we again come to the table.
come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.